Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome. We've got a good show for you today, and I've got a lot lined up here, so we need to jump straight into this and introduce my guest. You know, everyone I talk to lately is complaining about how time is going so quickly. I was talking with somebody yesterday, and she said, you know, where has the summer gone? I haven't done anything, and I haven't been anywhere, and the summer's gone, so I guess she's missed out right now. But maybe you two are sitting at home wondering what happened to the last few months, and you know, oftentimes we think technology saves us time, but other people think we've become a slave to it. Well, in today's show, we're going to explore some solutions that may just help us gain more time, feel more centered, and enable us to enjoy more playtime with our friends and family. We're going to begin today's show with random encounters that change your life. What might we have missed by being too busy? Who might we have missed by being too busy? What might we have missed by not being fully present? Great food for thought here to kick off today's show. My first guest says, if you think incidental meetings are just incidental, think again. Kristen Kaufman is the founder of Alignment Inc., and we'll learn more about that in a moment. During her 25 years of corporate experience, Kristen held executive positions at Hewlett-Packard, Vignette Corporation, and United Health Group. She's a certified leadership coach and author of Is This Seat Taken? Random Encounters That Can Change Your Life. Kristen Kaufman, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Vicki. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here, too. This was a very interesting read. Lots of interesting stories. You've built the book around stories of your own random encounters and lessons learned and how that's changed your life. But before we get into that, I want to just start with this, Kristen. You're in the corporate world for 25 years. You did very well. Your life, you say, was a series of accomplishments, achievements, awards, and rewards. And then you made, as you put it, a jump off the hamster wheel. Tell us what brought you to that point.
Right. You know, honestly, Vicki, I think I lost the plot. You know, oftentimes we get into an overachievement scenario where we're striving and we're thriving and we're doing really great things with our life and doing what we think we're quote-unquote supposed to be doing. And then we wake up one day and we go, what's it all about Alfie? Or at least in my generation, that was the movie, right?
What's it all about Alfie?
And that happened to me. And I woke up one day, and I'll never forget it. I was in the Sofitel Hotel in Minnetonka. And those of you who know where Minnetonka is, my apologies. And I woke up and I thought, what am I doing? You know, I truly had lost the plot, and I was no longer really fulfilled with what I was doing. I wasn't having any fun anymore. And I just made the decision that this was not going to be the next chapter in my life. And I did jump off the high board or off the hamster wheel. I've used a number of metaphors in the book. And frankly, Vicki, I had a piece that passed all understanding, and it was not at all logical. For those of us who are, you know, executives or business people, you know, logic trumps passion typically most of the time when you're making business decisions. But passion absolutely trumped logic in this. And I did not know what I was going to do. I did not have plan B already determined. I had not written a book or formed a company or had another job lined up. I just knew that the job I had and the road I was on was not the road I wanted to be on. So that was ultimately, you know, kind of the aha moment that I had. And
right.
And it set me on this new course.
Right, great. And you say that along the way you had two important insights that helped you learn and grow and include all parts of who you are, because ultimately I think that's what we all want. We want to be able to include all of our parts and live authentically. You say number one was you realized that your greatest realization happened when we live in the present moment. And
yes.
Number two, that we're all part of an integral and collective experience. So tell us a little bit more about those insights and how they came about for you.
Right. I think oftentimes, especially those of us who are busy moms or corporate people, or we're multitaskers, especially perhaps the women listeners on your show will recognize this, we get lost in the details of our life. We get lost in it. You know, we're moving from the next item on the to-do list. And then you wake up and it's 10 o'clock at night and you've accomplished everything on your to-do list, but perhaps we weren't always awake or present in the moment. And
Right. What
I learned, you know, when I was traveling around the world particularly, but frankly, I'd kept a journal my entire life, so it would be a misnomer for me to say it happened later in life. It actually, I think, was a combination of, you know, 50 years of life right up until now. I realized that my greatest lessons and perhaps the greatest ahas that I had were when I was truly awake in the moment, where I wasn't BlackBerrying or iPhoning. You know, I was actually talking to the taxi driver, or I was present to the man sitting next to me, you know, in seat 5E on a trip, you know, home from a business trip. And if I allowed myself to just be awake and tuned in, sometimes the greatest awarenesses would come to me either in that moment or perhaps when I just went back home and I was reflecting on the moment. So that was when that realization started to come, I think, was really over the course of my life, but probably it the pinnacle was when I was traveling, and, you know, we can go into that later if you'd like, but when I was traveling and you would arrive in these places and you were in some cases lonely because you didn't know anybody but
right.
the guy who had your name on the placard, you know, at the airport, and you were so grateful to see him, and you would resonate with them and you were awake to what that person could offer you at that moment.
Yeah. Do you know, I think that just talking about arriving at airports, if there's no one to greet you, I think that is the loneliest moment in the world.
It is. And well, that was sort of the, you know, one of the culminations, Vicki, was I would be so grateful to see the guy, you know, at the end of the, you know, at the end of the hallway with my name on the placard, because it might be 1 o'clock in the morning in Frankfurt, Germany. I was wiped out and I was thinking, how am I going to get to the hotel? And oh, I have such a full roster the next day. And you would see your name, you know, on that placard, and it was just golden. It was just beautiful. So, yeah.
Yeah. Or as, you know, if you're meeting my brother, that he might hold a picture of Shamu or something like that.
Right.
But at least there's somebody there to greet you.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about the book itself, how it's structured, why you put it together this way, because you do share each chapter is a story. At the end of each chapter, you have questions that you want to ask us. And I'm going to turn some of those questions around on you after the break. But
tell
us a little bit about the book.
The format. Well, so, you know, obviously, I think people learn from stories, and I personally love to hear stories. I love to read stories, and I had collected a lot of stories, Vicki, you know, over the last number of years. And so culling it down to the 25 stories that are in the book was probably one of the most difficult things, right? But I wanted to have the stories that impacted me the most. And that's how they ultimately made the book, so to speak. They are a variety of stories from a little girl that I taught swimming lessons to in my hometown of Hot Springs, Arkansas, you know, up to people that I met, you know, in Nepal, in East Germany, you know, and other travels that were later in life. After I wrote the story, then I felt like it was important to reflect on what that story or that person had taught me. So that's the next section. It's kind of, I call it the bridge section, where I just share my observations about what I learned from that person. And then the last part of the of each chapter is a collection of questions that might stimulate thought or reflection of others. And, you know, after they read the story, how do they apply that to their own life and their own experiences? So that was kind of how the book evolved over time. And then, of course, I have to have a little yellow bow at the end of each chapter. So I tried to find a quotation that kind of summed up that whole experience by, in some cases, somewhat unnotable sources. You know, Grandma Moses, I think, was one quote I used. And they're not necessarily the people that you would expect to have quoted, but I tried to find those that were most reflective of, you know, what
right.
I was trying to get across.
Right. And we're going to take a quick break, Kristen. When we come back, I'm going to ask you to share a couple of those stories that I pulled out of the book and turn some of those questions around on you so you can answer them for
us. Okay, I'm happy to.
All right. You're listening to Conversations Live today, and my name is Vicki St. Clair, and my guest in this segment is Kristen Kaufman. Please do stay with us. We'll be right back.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Like what you hear? Be sure and support the sponsors who support your favorite programs on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. My guest in this segment is Kristen Kaufman, and she's written a new book called Is This Seat Taken? She's a former executive, 25 years in the corporate world, escaped or jumped off the hamster wheel, as she puts it. And this book is about random encounters that change your life, and it's certainly made me think. Kristen asked me during the break, what did I like about it? Maybe we'll talk about that in a little while if we've got time. But before we bring Kristen back on, I just want to mention that we do have Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair does have a new Facebook page, and I'd love you to join us on that. If you go to click on the like button on our page, you can share a link to your business, your event, or share a few words about yourself or your pet. I don't mind. We just want to meet you. So you can even recommend future guests or show topics. We want to make sure that we're pleasing our audience. So please jump on there and share some comments with us. Share your links to your business or event, as I said. We're easy to find. Just search for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair Facebook on Bing or Google. Log in and leave a post. We look forward to meeting you there. And talking about feedback and making sure that, you know, we're delivering what our audience is looking for, KKNW also has a survey going on right now. I'm going to ask Eric to jump in a moment and just give us the details. But I'll tell you from a host's perspective, and I'm also the producer of the show and the one with all the hats. It's really important to hear from our listeners about what you like, what you'd like to see more of. Possible guests, topics that we haven't covered and you'd like us to cover or cover from a different angle. So I'd really appreciate it if you do jump onto 11 onto the KKNW survey. If you can just click on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair and tell us what you'd like to see more of on our show. And Eric, could you just jump on here? Eric, of course, our trusty producer. Almost didn't get us live today, but keeping us live right now.
Occasionally we have equipment issues. I can't be held responsible for that.
No, but I think it's my fault. I think I'm giving off too much energy or something because everything around me is breaking. I've had to replace so much stuff over the last 4 weeks. You would not believe it.
Well, take it down a notch.
I'm trying, dude.
Okay, so the annual listener survey is going on now till October 7th. All you got to do is log on to 1150kknw.com, and you'll see a link to fill out the survey. Once you fill out the survey, it'll take you about 5 minutes or so, maybe a little less, depending on how quickly you can answer questions. But as a big thank you for filling out the survey, you'll get entered into a drawing for a trip for two to Victoria, B.C. on the Victoria Clipper between Seattle and Victoria. And that includes continental champagne breakfast on the trip. Also includes transfer to the hotel. And you get accommodation at your choice of several different hotels. And you'll get complete details at 1150kknw.com. So log on today.
All right. Thank you so much, Eric. And so let's jump back to our guest, Kristen Kaufman, because I have a lot of questions for her and not much time. Her book is called Is This Seat Taken? Random Encounters That Change Your Life. And my guest, of course, Kristen Kaufman. So I want to ask you, Kristen, about you had surgery. And this was a life-changing event for you. It was an incidental meeting with a nurse named Mary. Just tell us a little bit about the story and why that was life-changing for you.
Oh, this one always gets me all choked up. So hopefully I'll get through this one.
I picked a good one.
Well, so I had been sick for a while, and we weren't really sure what the diagnosis was. Fast forward to I ended up having to have pretty significant surgery through which I lost the ability to conceive children, and which at the time in my life was pretty crushing. And Mary was truly, honestly, one of these angels that crosses your path when you don't think that you can get up the next morning and you're frankly depressed because your chapter that you thought you were going to be embarking upon is completely shifted through no fault or choice of your own, and you're forced to face a reality that was not the reality that you thought your life was going to be. And Mary, she was on the floor that had a lot of people like me. You know, some people did not leave that floor. Some people, that was their last place on the planet before they passed on. And she was miraculous, Vicki. She never came into my room without a smile on her face. She had an energetic bounce. I am certain that it came from a place of divine centeredness, and she was completely aligned, and that's the word that I use, thus the reason why I formed my company, Alignment, where she loved what she did. She knew that she was good at what she did, and I think it was tied to a purpose greater than herself. And when those three dimensions come together for any of us in whatever we do, whether it be hosting a radio show or having your own business or being, in her case, a nurse, you are at your most powerful and you are at your most authentic. And Mary most certainly was that person, and just the way in which she met the world every day and met patients like me whose prognosis may or may not be that great was just amazing to me. Mm. And so in a lot of the words and the exchanges that we had, not to mention her actions, you know, that's the reason why I included them in the book, because I wanted her voice to be heard by people outside of just me. You know, I wanted to share it with the world.
Right.
In a nutshell.
Yes, in a nutshell. and another of the stories that I really liked, you talk about finding their here. So, and one of the questions you ask is, I'm going to ask you this, how do you define where there is?
Right. Well, you know, Gloria Steinem had a wonderful quote, you know, there is no there, there. You know, I live in an area of the country that, you know, I'm afraid to say that where I live, definitely Dallas, Texas, it definitely lives up to the TV, the TV show where everyone is questing for more. You know, more is better. More money, larger house, greater power, greater status, greater socioeconomic position. Constantly seeking to be there, wherever there is. And when we think if we ever get there, then once we get there, then oh boy, you know, we got it made, right?
Right.
And of course, my realization and my very, very fervent belief is that there is here, meaning there is within our hearts and our souls. It's within ourselves. It's not dictated or defined by others. It's actually defined within ourselves, and there the ultimate destination is really peace and centeredness and alignment within ourselves,
right.
Not by somebody else's measuring stick.
Right, right, definitely.
In a nutshell. So the story was about a woman in a bar, actually. Because several of those stories, by the way, are in bars. I don't know if you noticed.
I did, but I wasn't going to mention it, Kristen.
Well, I think oftentimes that's where people are at their most vulnerable.
I want to ask you this question, too, because we're running short on time. And this is another question that you raise in the book. You say, what gift do you receive for taking a risk when you face a terrifying challenge head on? And I know what gift. The gift to me would be, I guess I would feel, stronger as a person. How would you define that yourself?
That there are no regrets. That we don't someday find ourselves, looking death in the face and wondering, wow, what if? What if I had just done X, or what if I had just done Y? And, we may or may not be successful, right? We may or may not actually achieve whatever we think we're to achieve by taking that risk. But by not taking the risk, we'll never know. So, frankly, I think a lot of people thought I'd lost my mind when I jumped off, the corporate bandwagon, and when I was at the height of my career and decided I wanted to do something else. I mean, I had many, many people. I still think that they think I've lost my mind.
Well, right? I went through the same thing. Everybody put it down to a midlife crisis.
Yes, and yet I know one thing for sure. I will never regret it, because had I not done it, I would have always wondered what else might have been my contribution to the world. Right. Outside of just, making a P&L for a large business.
Right, right.
My contribution is different now.
Yeah, very different. And this is a really interesting read. It certainly made me think about some of the random encounters in my life and some of the opportunities that we might have missed. So a final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with today, Kristen.
Right. Oh, thank you, Vicki. Well, there were three primary points for the book. One was to be awake in the moment, because we never know when the next aha moment will happen. The second was, you've already touched on it, that we're all connected, that a rising tide truly does lift all boats. So not to forget that we are all part of an integral dance as human beings. And the last and probably most important is that I believe we're all here for one reason, and it's to teach each other, to learn from each other, and to serve each other. And we can do that in lots of capacities and lots of vocations, but that fact remains, from my perspective, the real reason why we're all here.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, Kristen Kaufman, for being with us today. Kristen's book, again, is The Seat Taken, Random Encounters That Change Your Life. And you can find links to that on our website, conversationslive.net. And you can find more about Kristen at kristenkaufman.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Coach Meg.
Hi, I'm Charlize Theron with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Almost all the puppies for sale at your local mall were churned out by breeding facilities called puppy mills.
Constant confinement drives the dogs mad. They are impregnated continually until they can no longer produce a litter.
If you choose a dog from the mall, a dog you could have saved from the pound will die.
Contact PETA to learn how you can make a difference at 757-622-PETA or visit PETA.org.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772. Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair has a new Facebook page, so you can see what's happening on our show and what we're up to between shows. Like us on Facebook and look out for upcoming contest drawings.
Notice anything different? You should. There's no other station like Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Say goodbye.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Well, I told you we're going to have Coach Meg with us next, but I decided to play Coach Meg's interview at the end of the hour because the last interview ran a little long and I didn't want to risk losing Gail Martin, who was scheduled to be with us in just a couple of minutes. So Gail Martin is my next guest. I should say Gail Z. Martin is our next guest. She's a marketing expert. She's an international speaker and the owner of Dream Spinner Communications. She helps small businesses and solo professionals create better results in 30 days. And her latest book is called 30 Days to Virtual Productivity Success. Gail Martin, welcome.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
I'm glad to hear, and your name is very familiar, so I'm not sure if we've talked before or I've just read one of your books before, but the first question I want to ask you is, why 30 days? All of your books, let's have a look, you've got 30 Days to Social Media Success, you've written 30 Days to Online PR and Marketing Success. What's significant about that 30 days?
Well, I think it helps readers feel like they can get their arms around a big idea and make it something they can tackle. Because you know what? If you can tackle something in 30 days, it's not that big. And otherwise, things like social media and virtual productivity and PR, they just seem kind of big and fuzzy, and people look at it and go, ah, it's too big, I'll do something tomorrow, and then they never get around to it. So it makes it workable.
Yeah. And also, we hear over and over, it takes at least 21 days to make a habit. So in some cases, that would apply to some of your information in here.
Absolutely, because especially with the 30 days to social media success, it's all about training yourself to get in the habit of going out and making those connections on a regular, consistent basis.
Yeah. So this whole show today and all of my three guests today, we're talking about, you know, being present in the moment so we get more done. And, of course, technology is a wonderful, wonderful tool, but so many people have become slave to it. And your whole book here really is about taking control of it and talking about ways that we can actually free up our time and make our life easier. So tell us a little bit about why you wrote this and who you wrote it for.
Well, I wrote it because I learned what's in it the hard way, trying to find those solutions for myself. I travel a great deal. I speak all over the U.S. and Canada. I'm in airports a lot. I'm away from my office. And I needed to find a way that I could stay up with the demands of my business so that I didn't come back and feel swamped. I didn't come back and have to dig myself out. When I came back from the road, I wanted to be able to spend the time reconnecting with my family, not doing emails and working on other projects. So I found a lot of these tools myself out of necessity and then realized everybody else wasn't using them and said, well, you know what? I think a lot of other people could benefit from this. So that became the theme for the book. In fact, actually, one of my friends said, Gail, you know all these things to use when you're on the road. Why don't you write about it? Because my friends were always asking me, well, what do you use to do this? And I had usually figured something out.
Yeah.
So it's really written for busy people. You know, you don't have to travel through airports. Maybe you just spend a lot of time in the carpool line. Maybe you spend a lot of time on the bleachers waiting for your kid at soccer practice. Maybe you just end up getting to appointments 10 minutes early and cooling your heel in the parking lot, wishing you could do something productive. Those are the people that this book is for. So you can knock those tasks off in those dead 10 minutes when you're sitting parked somewhere and get that time back on the end of your day that you can do something much more fun instead.
Yes, and it makes such a difference. I'm one of those people who always gets everywhere early, but I always do take stuff with me that I can knock off my list during those you know, few minutes when I'm waiting. And, you know, especially if the other person's late, there's an extra few minutes there too.
Absolutely. I never go anywhere without something to do. And now I've found that my smartphone and my tablet PC make it so much easier to do that because now I can carry my documents or my links to things on those machines, and I don't have to carry around a big binder with loose papers. I can have it all on my smartphone and my tablet.
Right. So you talk with a lot of people. Where do you see that most people waste time, Gail, or spend too much time unproductively?
I think it's those 10-minute segments of you get to an appointment early and you sit in the parking lot with nothing to do, or you get to the gate at the airport and you've got 15 minutes and it's sort of an awkward amount of time. What do you do? And it's 10 minutes here, it's 15 minutes there, but it adds up over the course of a day and over the course of the week into hours. And if you can find a task that you can do in just 5 or 10 minutes from your phone or your tablet PC, then you get all that time back again.
Right. So tell me, from your perspective, when you started trying to reclaim some of your time, what was the single best piece of technology or tool? What tool was worked best for you?
I think one of the best things has been being able to load apps onto my tablet PC so that I can use it instead of my laptop when I'm on the road for everything from, sure, I can do email on it, but I can do PowerPoints, I can do documents, I can retrieve documents from storage. I don't have to carry that big, heavy laptop because it was really messing with my back, and I can carry this nice little tablet PC and get all the work done.
And so when you're talking with people, is there a number one complaint that they have about using technology? Because I still run into a lot of people who just don't like using it or don't know how to use it.
Well, I think there's a fear of it, a fear that it's going to be too complicated, too hard to learn. And yet, really, all of the things I'm talking about in the book are things that can be mastered with the push of a couple of buttons. It's really easy stuff. And part of what I offer in the book is a guide to some of the best products out there, in my experience and in the experience of other people that I've talked to, so that that also cuts through the clutter. Because, you know, you go out on the App Store on iTunes, and there might be 200 apps for business. Well, I've given you a cheat sheet on the ones that I think are going to be the best bang for your buck in terms of getting you some of that time back.
Right. And none of this is complicated stuff. As you said, it is push-a-button kind of stuff. You talk about in the book identifying 30 key tasks that we routinely do and looking to how we can automate them. And I did this in my studio a couple of years back. I set up what I call simple repeatable systems.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes such a difference because whether I'm there or not, other people can go in and pick those things up and move forward. So talk to us about what you mean by this.
Well, you know, for example, a big thing for me was being able to either write or edit Word documents when I was on the road, and preferably without taking my laptop, because I'm a writer. That's what I do. And if I'm not doing books, I'm doing articles or I'm doing blog posts or something else. So when I found some great apps like QuickOffice HD that allowed me to email myself a document, even a 600-page document, open it from that email attachment, save it in QuickOffice HD, and then open it back up and be able to edit it and save it again on my tablet. I mean, that's huge for me. And, of course, you don't have to be dealing with 600-page books. You can it could be a 5-page article or a 5-page presentation or a 2-pager. The key thing is you can do anything with it that you would have needed to do on your laptop right there from your tablet, and it's pounds lighter.
Yeah. One of the things you talk about in the book is, you know, staying in touch with your contacts because, you know, networking takes time.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time and energy away from whatever it is you're producing as a business owner. It's a fundamentally important aspect. I mean, it's a key component of your business. But so many of us get so busy that we forget to stay in touch with our contacts once we've made them. What tips do you have there for staying connected without spending, a whole day on this stuff?
Sure. Well, you know, certainly LinkedIn is a great way to stay in touch with your business connections. And there's some really cool things in LinkedIn a lot of people haven't discovered. You know, for example, there's an application in LinkedIn, an app in LinkedIn, that allows you to tell your colleagues where you're traveling, and if they're using the same app, it will tell you who's going to be in the same city at the same time.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so now you can, you know, if you're in California and he's in, you know, New York, and you're both going to be in Peoria at the same time, you can get together and do a business deal over dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or meet up in the airport. It's a great way to build on some of those serendipitous connections. Little things like that, or being able to not just stay in touch with Facebook, but be able to watch what is going on with the people that you're connected to through a program like GIST that gives you the digest of what they're doing, so that when you make a post on their LinkedIn profile or on their Facebook profile, you know what they've just posted about, so you can make an intelligent comment like you just saw them at the grocery store and heard what they were doing, and you can go, wow, congratulations on your kid's soccer game. Great win.
Right, right.
It's a little stalkerish, but it doesn't have to be. You know, after all, they put it out there. It
sure.
just gives you the digest of that. And where that really comes in handy is, especially when we're reconnecting people we haven't seen for a while, it can be very awkward to sit there and go, wow, I haven't talked to them in 5 years. What do I say? But if you know they just got a big promotion or just got a new job, you could say, wow, saw that you got a new job. Congrats. Now the ice is broken, and you can start that conversation going again very comfortably.
Right. Another thing you talk about a lot of really good ideas in this book, getting customers to promote you or your business or your service or your event, getting other people to promote for you. Now, this could also apply if you're looking for a job or maybe a new house, whatever. But how do you get other people to promote you? Through word of mouth.
You know, part of it is as simple as asking and letting people know what it is you want them to do. So if you have a new book out, ask all of your friends, you know, who've read the book, hey, would you please put a review on Amazon for me? Or ask people, if you're doing a signing and you sell them the book by hand, say, if you like the book, please mention it on Amazon. I'd really appreciate it. That just may never have connected to them, but that's so valuable. On LinkedIn, one of the best ways to do this is to recommend other people. And 9 times out of 10, if you can honestly give a good recommendation to someone else, they will probably recommend you back. And that's a wonderful way to build credibility.
Yeah.
And with your other customers, let them know, you know, whether you have a retail or a service business, if you're out there on programs like Yelp and on different community listings that allow customers to rate your product or service, when you finish the transaction, ask them if they were happy. And if they were happy, ask them to go out and give you 4 or 5 stars on Yelp. Let people know about the good experience they had, because it's just human nature. When we're not happy, we tend to be louder than when we're happy.
Yeah.
And when we're happy, it doesn't occur to us to go out and say, oh, I had such a wonderful experience, but boy, let the food be cold or the service be sloppy, and we're logging in before we leave the parking lot.
And when you do that for somebody else, it's amazing, and you do it spontaneously without mm-hmm. them asking even. It's such a boost in their day. It kind of makes their day. So it's a good thing all around, I think. Final quick question here, Gail. You've been doing this a long time. What do you know now, apart from technology, what do you know now about productivity, work-life balance that you wish you'd known 10, 15 years ago?
Well, I think it is that those 5 minutes and 10 minutes add up. And so if you can squeeze all the output out of those wasted moments during the day, it feels so nice at the end of the day to just be able to go home and be with your kids, be with your spouse, be with your dog, and not have to worry about what you didn't get done at the office.
There
Life's
you go.
Too short for that.
It is indeed. I echo that. Well, Gail Martin, I appreciate you being with us today. And I want to let listeners know that Gail's got a great couple of downloads on her website. If you go to GailMartin.com, especially if you have a small business or you're in marketing, self-promotion.
Actually, GailMartinMarketing.com.
Oh, thank you for that. GailMartinMarketing.com. That's right, Gail.
And, you know, if folks go out to the website on the 26th, which is Wednesday, and go to VirtualProductivity.com, they can get a special bonus deal if they order 30 days to Virtual Productivity. But it's just on the 26th. So look for it on virtualproductivity.com.
Okay, fabulous. Thank you so much for being with us today, Gail. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And the book again, 30 Days to Virtual Productivity Success. My guest, Gail Z. Martin, will be right back. Please do stay with us. And this time we will be with Coach Meg.
Yeah. Women worldwide see beauty in their mothers, sisters, daughters, and friends. However, only 4% of those women see the same beauty in themselves. Hi, I'm Lisa Ling, and I've traveled the world for years and have witnessed firsthand the devastating effects of low self-esteem among women. We should all pledge to inspire the next generation to see their beauty as a source of confidence, not anxiety.
This message was brought to you by the Alliance for Women in Media and was made possible through the generous support of the Dove Movement for Self-Esteem. To learn more, visit DoveMovement.com.
Who is Jopra?
What is Jopra?
When is Jopra?
Joe Janot is the host of a brand new show called Jopra. Joe has been nicknamed Jopra by his friends and colleagues who find his advice and insight to be enlightening, just like a certain other talk show host of world renown. Born and raised in Seattle, independent-minded Joe Janot is bringing issues to the airwaves that make you ponder, laugh, and deliberate. The Jopra Show is about the ins and outs of food and drink, relationships, entertainment, and so much more. Get to know Jopra every Thursday at 2, right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL. Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
You're listening to the refreshingly different Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Well, we've been talking today about how many of us lead demanding and complex lives. You know, we have to manage work schedules. We have to focus to get ahead at work. We have to manage busy home schedules. On top of that, we have to nurture friendships, stay current with the latest technologies, maintain healthy hearts and minds, and take care of aging parents. We've got a lot on our plate these days. And I sat down a couple of weeks ago with Coach Meg. She is an entrepreneur, a biologist with an MBA, and a 17-year veteran of the biotech industry in the UK, Canada, France, and US. And she was CEO of two biotech ventures a while back. But in 2000, she shifted her focus from the high-tech side of medicine to prevention and well-being, which is, you know, hopefully where we all get to be. She's now an executive wellness coach and the director of the Institute of Coaching at McLean Hospital, which is an affiliate of Harvard Medical School. And she partnered with Dr. Paul Hamanis, a Harvard Medical School psychiatrist and cutting-edge brain researcher who specializes in understanding ADHD. He studies the brain, but particularly ADHD. And together they wrote a book with the writer, John Hank, called Organize Your Mind, Organize Your Life, Train Your Brain to Get More Done in Less Time. And according to Coach Meg and Dr. Paul Hamanis, it all begins in the mind. So we're going to bring you that conversation right now. Well, Coach Meg, I want to ask you, first of all, I heard you say that three forces brought you to writing this book. So tell us, if you would, what those forces were. What brought you to this point?
Well, thank you, Vicky. First, you know, I don't know about you, but I think everybody I know, including me, spends a lot of time in our day feeling frenzied, kind of like our heads in our beehive, you know, swarming and buzzing all the time.
Right.
And it's never been worse. So I think we're in a state of chronic distraction and frenzy, and we feel disorganized, even though we've got endless apps for to-dos, etc. So, but the second thing is that the neuroscientists have really figured out how the brain was designed to be organized, and it turns out we're not following its inherent design. And so there's a lot of opportunity for all of us to kind of upgrade and have our brains work better.
Right. Right. And I, this book is actually a little different. There are so many books out there on, you know, how to get organized, how to organize your mind, your time, your desk, whatever. But this is a little different because you say, and this is something we might think is contrary, but you say the key to a less hectic, less stressful life is not in simply organizing your desk, but in organizing your mind. So you say the book is prescriptive, and it is. There's some great tools in here. So tell us a little bit, in your words, what you think makes the book different.
Well, I think we do tend to think of, you know, a good to-do list and a good calendar and a good way to prioritize and remind ourselves as being the way to get organized. But that's one level. The higher level is to be in a place where you go from being in the weeds, you know, whether it's in a relationship or at a work project or you know, whatever you happen to be doing at the moment, you sort of feel like you're not in control, you're distracted, you're hijacked, and then you never really get up to the big picture, that strategic perspective, which allows you to calm down, because now you see, you know, instead of being frustrated with my teenage son's messy room, and, you know, I go ballistic every time I walk by it, I realize, you know, I really treasure my relationship with him. He's going to be gone in a couple of years, and I'm going to focus on what his strengths are instead of, you know, getting into this downward spiral. So you then get to be strategic about the little and big things, which then gives you a sense of organization, calm, and peace.
Yeah, it is very hard to feel organized and feel functional to an effective level if you're irritated by and focusing on the negative. So that makes perfect sense, I think. Now, you wrote this book, as I said at the beginning. Dr. Paul came up with 6 rules of orders based on the latest neuroscience. And then you developed the coaching program around this so that we can actually coach ourselves throughout this book. I wanted just to look at those 6 rules of order, and starting with the first one, which I think I need to do right now, which is tame the frenzy. Tell us what that one is and why it's so important.
Right. Well, negative static, negative emotions, big or small, they actually dim the lights in the thinking brain. So we actually can't focus and learn and think straight and be creative. And so while they matter in life and negative is our teacher, you want to set them aside when it comes time to focus on something important. And there are many ways to do that. You can calm yourself with a little meditation. Exercise works great. Sleeping well works great. So just create a little calm oasis when you're about to focus. And that gets you off to a good start. Another quick way is that the brain can't hold a positive and negative at the same time. So if you switch your attention to a positive thought, like a be grateful about something, the negative will slip away. Another approach is to keep your ratio of positive to negative at above 3-1, because the negative is so darn sticky like Velcro. It really does impair the brain. So if you can come up with three good things that you feel are important and valuable and make you feel special in your life, then that will also help your brain work better.
I've heard a lot about this lately. In fact, I talked with a neuroscientist a couple of weeks ago who said the same thing. You know, that 3-1 ratio seems to be very important. We need 3 positive things to 1 negative. So that's a good point. So step 2 would be what? Tell us what step 2 is, rule of order.
Now it's time to focus. You've got a calm brain, and you want to set up the perfect conditions for focusing, which is, you know, to shut down anything that's distracting, to tell your brain what your intention is, so, you know, harness your motivation. This is what I want to do right now, brain. This is how much time we're going to spend. Set up some rules for distractions, you know, no interruptions unless there's an emergency, and then go to it. And then when the time is up, take a break, because the brain gets tired and it gets depleted and it needs to recharge probably at least every hour, maybe even more if you're particularly stressed and tired on a given day.
Yeah, now a lot of people would say that breaks their concentration, but obviously there's scientific evidence around you saying this, so you're going to stick with that. We need to break every hour.
I think everybody's got to get to know their own brains, and some people might find that they can go longer. You just have to start to notice when your brain is starting to head downhill. You know, when you're not, you just can't figure something out. You get writer's block if you're trying to write, or you get stuck on something, or you start to feel a little irritated. You just got to listen to your brain signals and say, you know what? I'm tired. Would you just give me a little break? Because when you take a break, the rest of your brain is still on automatic working away. And sometimes you have the idea when you're in the break.
Yeah, makes sense.
So it's really about finding your own, you know, what is the time that you focus well? And then sensing, it's like, you know, like your brain, like if you had a little gas, you know, like your gas odometer, you know, it's coming down, it's near empty. Got to take a break, got to refill.
Right,
so
right.
Choose your own.
Makes perfect sense. So rule three is apply the brakes, know how and when to stop an action or thought that's counterproductive. Rule four is mold information. Let's talk about that a little, how we can fuel creative shifts and connections.
Yeah, so I think the first thing to say is that multitasking has become an epidemic, and it's the enemy of accessing your memory, remembering things. It's the enemy of creativity. It's the enemy of being organized. And we have fallen into a place where we're distracted by the next thing. Next thing you know, we got 10 computer screens open.
Right.
We can't remember what we did last. We can't remember what we're supposed to do, and we've fried our brains.
Right.
So staying focused is very important in order to access your creativity and your memory so that then you can put things together in new ways and get up to that big picture or strategic perspective.
Okay, makes sense. And then shifting sets is rule five, develop cognitive flexibility and talk to us about how we create new connections and insights, leaping onto those from...
Yeah, good. So multitasking doesn't work, but we do need to shift our focus. And so what you want to do is to kind of be like the basketball player. Take your feet off the ground. Take your focus off the last thing completely and move all of it to the next thing. And that's a kind of cognitive flexibility, which means you can shift from one intense focus to another, and you can do it quickly. And when you are able to move quickly to focus completely on something else, your brain gets more agile. It gets better at finding new perspectives, because creativity is about seeing something in a new way. And so you want to be able to move your brain from different perspectives quickly so you really can see new options and ideas and then have the brilliant aha.
Right, right. And of course, the last one is connecting all the dots.
That's right. And when you put it all together, you get to see new patterns. You get to discover new ways of thinking. You're building new networks in your brain. So when you've calmed your brain, you focus beautifully, you've handled the distractions and put brakes on them, you resist multitasking, you shift your focus completely, you take breaks so the creativity comes along, and then, you know, you'll start to notice that by the end of the day, each thing you worked on, you actually got out of the weeds and up to the strategic picture, and that's energizing at the end of the day, which then of course leaves you the energy to take good care of yourself, you know, to cook a healthy meal, to really focus your attention on your family, and sleep well so you can start it all over again.
Yeah, and that's perfect, because my next quick question was going to be, what's the mind-body wellness connection between that and organization? And you just answered that for us. Well, we're right at the end of our segment. It's a final thought that you'd like to leave our listeners with today, Coach Meg.
Well, I want to just build on that last point, because it turns out that when you exercise, feed your brain well, sleep well, manage stress, when you do all of those things, your brain is more organized. And then when your brain is more organized, you have more time to do all of those things, to take care of yourself. So you're on this upward spiral of both health and organization.
Sounds good. Great information. Thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Vicki. Great to be here.
And you can find out more about Coach Meg and Dr. Paul Hamanis' book, Organize Your Mind, Organize Your Life, at coachmeg.com. Interesting stuff, what they're finding out about the brain now. It's just, I find it fascinating. Now, I just have to train mine to do what it's supposed to do. Well, we're almost at the end of our show. In fact, we're right at the end of our show right now, but I want to tell you very quickly that we do have a new Facebook page. I'd love if you go over there and click like and leave a comment, leave your business link, or tell us about your event that's coming up. We'd love you to join us there. And if you could also jump, if you have a couple of minutes, on KKNW's website and complete the quick survey there, so you can also enter yourself into the contest, the sweepstake for a trip to Victoria, which is very cool. I'm told we can't enter. Too bad. It sounded fun. But we appreciate your feedback. So if you can just take a couple of minutes out of your very busy week, hopefully you've learned a couple of tips about saving time today or being present in the moment. We'll be back next week and we'll see you then. Until then, live well, live strong.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.